You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin. Next up, the Tuesday 8 o'clock buzz, right after the BBC News.
BBC News, I'm John Shea. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has admitted Israeli forces have unintentionally hit innocent people in the Gaza Strip, in an apparent reference to the killing of seven aid workers for World Central Kitchen. Speaking on a video message, Mr. Netanyahu said his government would endeavour to avoid it happening again.
Unfortunately, a tragic incident occurred in the past 24 hours involving unintentional harm inflicted by our forces on innocent people in the Gaza Strip. This happens in war. We are fully looking into it, contacting governments, and we will do everything so this incident won't happen again.
The seven include workers from Australia, Britain and Poland, a US-Canadian dual citizen, as well as Palestinians. Iranian state media say that 13 people are now confirmed to have been killed in a suspected Israeli airstrike on the Iranian consulate building in Damascus. The Iranian supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has said Monday's attack, in which two senior commanders in Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guards were killed, will not go unpunished. Sebastian Usher reports.
Iranian officials have not only denounced Israel over the deadly airstrike in Damascus, but also blamed the US. It's reported that a US official has assured Iran that it had no involvement or knowledge in advance. Iranian proxy forces in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq and Yemen have all stepped up their attacks on targets linked to Israel and the US. Iran has shown no appetite for a direct confrontation, but Israel's latest action, even if, as ever, it is not officially confirmed it was responsible, will be seen in Tehran as a major provocation.
Bassirou Diomaye Faye has been sworn in as president of Senegal to become Africa's youngest elected leader. Last month, Mr. Faye won the delayed elections, securing 54% of the vote, ahead of his main challenger, Amadou Ba. Here's Richard Hamilton.
At an exhibition centre outside the capital, Dakar, in front of an audience of hundreds of officials and several African leaders, Bassirou Diomaye Faye swore to faithfully fulfil the office of president. Nicknamed Mr. Clean, he has promised to fight corruption. The former tax collector has also been described as methodical and modest. Some critics will question his lack of experience, but he believes the elite who have run the country have not served the people of Senegal.
Ukraine's allies meeting in The Hague have formally launched an online portal where Ukrainians can register claims for damages from Russia's full-scale invasion. The scheme will soon cover categories including the death of a close relative, injuries, torture or sexual violence, and involuntary displacement. World News from the BBC.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Just Coffee, Madison's Fair Trade Roasting Cooperative. Just Coffee buys fair trade coffee to ensure equitable conditions for coffee grower cooperatives around the world and roasts locally in small batches. More information at 204-9011 or on the web at justcoffee.coop.
You wake up to the 8 o'clock buzz to get the week started.
Now, we need the help of a good volunteer to run our on-air operations each Monday.
Sure, that means waking up a little earlier.
To get to the station around 7:30.
But that's why WORT has coffee.
So that you can start your week off right.
WORT is recruiting a volunteer to run the soundboard each week on Monday mornings from 7:30 to 9 a.m.
You'd run all on-air operations for our morning program, The 8 O'Clock Buzz with Brian Standing.
No experience is necessary, but a familiarity with computers and a strong sense of punctuality and reliability are preferred.
For details, call 608-256-2001 and ask to speak with Shali Pittman.
Or head online to WORTFM.org/volunteer to fill out our volunteer application.
The 4th annual Best Bloody Mary contest is Sunday, April 7th at the beautiful Garver Feed Mill to benefit Great Lakes Hemophilia Foundation and the Bleeding Disorders Community of Wisconsin. Local bars and restaurants give back by showcasing their signature Bloody Mary mix and garnish, and you get to be the judge. You can vote for your favorite in a number of different categories, including most inventive, most like Milwaukee, most like a meal, and best overall. Tickets include an appetizer buffet and beer chasers. Tickets and more information are available at glhf.org/events. Great Lakes Hemophilia Foundation is celebrating 50 years of educating, supporting, and advocating for treatment of bleeding disorders in Wisconsin. The 4th annual Best Bloody Mary contest to support Great Lakes Hemophilia Foundation is at the Garver Feed Mill on Sunday, April 7th, starting at 10:30 a.m. You are listening to WORT Madison.
Support for this program comes from DaneNet. Since 1996, this Madison nonprofit has focused on digital equity, both by providing professional IT, tech, and website support to other nonprofits in Dane County, as well as digital equity programming in the community. DaneNet's goal isn't to make a profit. It's to help leverage technology in order to increase the efficiency and impact of nonprofit organizations. Nonprofit organizations looking for IT, tech, or website support can visit danenet.org for more information. That's Dane as in Dane County and net as in nothing but net. DaneNet.org.
You're listening to WORT 89.9 Madison. Listener sponsored community radio.
The People's Station.
No justice! No peace! No justice! No peace! No justice! No peace! No justice!
No peace! No, I say you've been misled. You've been had. You've been took.
Man, listen, this is 2023, and we swinging chairs. I am not my ancestors, B.
Good morning, Madison.
Okay.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Madison. It's Tuesday morning, so you know what that means. It's the Tuesday turn, two turned up crew.
Turn up.
Here for the 8 o'clock buzz. This is your host, S, with the mostest, right? Tara, a.k.a. Big T of the plug. Boy, we are the most remote group today. Y'all don't know it, but we're all on Google Meet. But we've got some fantastic guests for y'all. First, let's have my co-host sign in and say who's here with us.
I'm here. I'm more in the building. I'm here. What's happening, y'all? Good morning.
What Antoine McNeil, technically not in the building, but we are. we are here to Turned Up Tuesday. Glad to have some guests. Glad to come back and talk some community stuff.
And boy, we're going to talk crazy because Lolo late even on the Zoom.
Well, I guess TP time is real. No, I'm just waiting.
And today we have special guests with us. We've got Linda Ketchum, Executive Director from Just Dane. And we've got Father Greg Boyle in the house as well. Well, on the Zoom as well. And he is joining us all the way from Los Angeles, California. We're going to talk a little bit about a powerful organization locally, Just Dane, and some of the inspiration, no doubt, that has been given to them by Homeboy Industries, which is Father Greg's organization out in LA, and how it's 50 years that Just Dane has been providing service and support to our community. And so I will pause a moment for Linda to say hi and Father Greg to say hi to the guests.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. Love it. and Father Greg. Good morning
to all of you. It's early over here.
Yeah. I'm on the other side, and I'm a little later than you guys. I'm out here in Atlanta, so I got a little extra couple minutes this morning. Not really. We pulled in at like 2 a.m., so I'm probably the least sleep of the group here, I think.
You have no idea. No, just
okay. What's the weather like? What's going on in Madison right now?
I guess. It's,
yeah.
Is it going to snow today?
It's supposed to start. Yeah, y'all going to have snow by Friday for sure.
I literally don't pay attention to the weather at all. I got kicked out the house when I was 14 because I didn't wear a jacket to school. And then after that, I just rebelled and never cared about the weather.
So
it could be the summer. I have on a full black jogging suit. I'm like, I did not prepare well.
Wait, that's not funny because it was 80 degrees here. Well, I was in North Carolina for Easter, but it was 80 degrees and I had on a sweatshirt when I went outside and everybody in my family was a little upset with me. I was like, I didn't prepare. I'm sorry. Father Greg, what is it like in L.A. today?
It's beautiful. 73 degrees is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with Father Greg. I got some nice weather out here, too. Sorry, Wisconsinites that are still in Wisconsin.
Like it feel like you bragging, Father God. It feel like you bragging this morning.
Well, I want to get right to it. Linda, if you would share just a little bit about Just Aid. I was just on the website and there was some data that blew me away and also didn't surprise me at all because of the interactions that I've had with individuals who've been supported by Just Aid. But I was looking at the recidivism difference for people who participate in Just Aid services when they come home versus our state numbers. And I'll let you go ahead and share, but it was highly impressive. Uh-oh, where'd we get the music from? John's going crazy. Okay.
Let's go, John.
Sure. So yeah, since, you know, the late 1990s, we've been focusing a lot of our attention on the criminal legal system and reentry and people returning home after incarceration. So our circles of support, Journey Home, and peer support initiatives, as well as Just Bakery, which was inspired in part by Homeboy Industries, really have focused on wraparound services to help people coming back into the community, rebuild their lives, make new connections, repair relationships. So since 2005, when we became through the Journey Home part of the United Way Signature Initiative on Reentry, we track two-year return to prison rate. And so since 2005, that two-year return to prison rate has fluctuated a bit from as low as 7.19% to just over 11%. And that is compared to the state average of about 67%. So it is... you know, I think what it says is that when we support people when they come out, when we try to work to build a community where people truly have second, third, fourth chances, that people can be successful in the community. They bring with them skills, and it's about how do we support them in those efforts to rebuild their lives and find that pathway forward. So we're happy to be part of the work. I think part of the success is that we've also had a commitment consistently to have staff who have that lived experience. So they've walked that journey. They've walked that path. They know how to walk side by side with somebody. They know, they understand some of the challenges that people are facing. Not that those challenges don't change, right? What 18 years ago when I started at Just Aid, about 30% of our participants could find employment and about 80% could find housing. And now that's flipped because of the job market and the housing market. So it shifts and we have to shift with it. But with that, I'll stop.
Man, let me just take a second because I want people to really digest that data. So coming home unsupported, more than half, 67%, end up within 2 years going back into incarcerated systems. Whereas she said 7 to 11%. So just think about that, the support. And you were humble, right? Because you said what that tells you is that people who have support do better. And yeah, that's true. But I know folks over at Just Dane, and I know people who've come home and been supported by folks at Just Dane. And I know that it's also a secret sauce, right? It's also that intentional, like you said, that lived experience, having people from the community who've gone through these similar experiences, navigated it with the downfalls and the successes, being the people who welcome you home. And having an executive director like yourself who gets that, who sees that power, man, it's huge. And so I don't want us to skate over the significance of those, the difference in that number and what that really shows us. And then, you know, everybody here knows peer support, like that's where Ido comes from. That's where Tara shows up. And so I've had the pleasure of working alongside and training some of the staff that you have on board. And so we had a guest in-house a couple weeks back, Klee Gray. If you all remember, Klee came on the show and talked about how he's taking his own entrepreneurial journey and now pouring into other individuals in our community and providing them workforce development training and a place to really thrive and grow. Well, what Klee said on the show was, and in many places, he's thanked me for how I welcomed him home. Me and Klee go way back to like middle school and high school. And so when I saw him getting ready to come to the community, I did. I reached for him. And when he started asking me for resources, one of the first places I said was Just Dane. And when he came on the show, he thanked me for that because he also attributed his success and his ongoing success to the involvement and the support he got from Just Dane and the involvement he still has. And then right now, I've got a young man who is a friend to the family, one of my kids, my kiddo's friends, who I've been since he was 16 and now he's 27. I've been on his tail. I see the leader in you. When you decide to take these skills you're using in the street and you're ready to put them someplace else, come holler at me. And when he came home, he was connected to me by the person he works with at Just Dane. And so I always feel really good when I see somebody being supported in that way. And it's not just you. It's not just me. It's a group of us that wrap around. But if I hear Just Dane is in the mix, I do. I feel like there's a little extra energy and a little bit more chance of success. And so thank you, Ms. Linda, for the work you're doing and for the team that you are supporting in our community. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal for us.
That's a lot of bit more success. That's not a little bit. You said about almost up to 11% versus, what is that, 67%, almost two-thirds nationally? Is that what that is?
Yeah, man.
That's amazing.
That deserves a gratuitous.
I know, right? We got to get that. We told G Money last week we needed that. He said he gonna get it together for us, John. DJ G Money's gonna get us a bang, bang, bang.
How do those numbers? How do you guys feel about those numbers? Where we at in Wisconsin, especially with what you're doing with your work, wraparound services or not wraparound, but with some of the things to prevent recidivism, especially with Wisconsin or Madison being one of the places with the highest incarceration rates for African Americans, because what you guys are doing is really impactful. So how do you guys feel about that? What's some of the secrets to the sauce? Because that's what your numbers are versus what it is nationally versus the fact that we have a higher incarceration rate. You guys are doing something right.
I think part of it is part of it is the staff that we have, and that lived experience is critical to have when we're creating programs and when we're reviewing kind of how are things going. It's critical to have the voices of people with lived experience, not only at the table but with power to impact what we're doing. So you know, we make changes to our programs or tweak things with input from the whole team. I think part of it is as well that it's intensive. It's based on what the individual coming home tells us they need. So it's individualized, it's intensive. For a lot of folks coming home, you know, it's not unusual for John Givens, our circle support coordinator, to spend 16 hours with somebody that first week out, right? They come into the office and John's taking them to the bank to get a bank account if they got some money. He's taking them to transitional housing. He's connecting them to other resources. They're just in the, and sometimes it's just sitting in the office, giving people permission to just kind of come in and making that space where you can come in and just sit and catch your breath, because you get out and, you know, after however long, but you know, in Wisconsin, we have this horrible truth in sentencing. So those are very long sentences, and they're coming out, and they, there's not been much by way of reentry planning in terms of really connecting them to solid resources. So, I mean, I think part of it, and we don't have any hard and fast stop, right? That's part of the beauty of, we don't have any corrections funding. Corrections funding often limits how long somebody can participate in the program. So, you know, through United Way, county, city, and fundraising, we support our reentry programs. And I think not having a hard and fast stop, so if somebody wants a circle of support for 18 months, 24 months, that can happen. It doesn't have to be this kind of force. And people can come back and they know that, right? People are welcome to come because life happens. You can rebuild everything. And 2 years later, something unravels and you need a little additional support. So people sometimes pop back in and say, hey, can I just get some help finding a new apartment, right? We know what's going on with housing. There's an article in the paper today, so about rents increasing up to $300 a month in some buildings. So people just needing help figuring that out, and we can be there for them, even though they're not formally any longer in the program. But it's just that long term. People know in long term, they got an anchor somewhere.
Oh, congratulations! That's a major.
So I want to give you a second to talk about the thing that was the catalyst to getting you on the show, and that is your 50th anniversary. It's coming up real quick, right around the corner next week, and there's an event. And so if you could share a little bit with us about the event, and then we can hear a little bit more from Father Greg and how he's connected to that.
Yeah, so... We were founded officially. We were incorporated as a nonprofit as Madison Urban Ministry in 1973 and got our nonprofit status in 1974. So that's why we're kind of spreading our 50th anniversary over 2023 and 2024. And because so much of the work that we do is focused on reentry and criminal legal system, and because, you know, 2013, we launched our Just Bakery program, a vocational training program. It's wraparound, has peer support, case management, life skills, produces a line of baked goods, and was really inspired by the work both at Homeboy Industries as well as Greystone Bakery on the East Coast, and recognizing that doors to employment and the training programs weren't opening for our participants. So we were going to need to create our own doors and our own programs for people to walk through. So we're celebrating 50 years, and we thought it was really appropriate to do so in a big way and in a way that really highlighted the importance of reentry work. And we couldn't think of any better program and organization in the country, really, than Homeboy Industries, the largest reentry initiative, I think, in the United States. So we invited Father Boyle and some homeboys, and they were gracious enough to accept. And so I'm going to stop talking. And that is next Thursday, April 11th. And you can go to our website and find the details, but I'm going to stop talking now. I want to hear from Father Boyle.
Wait, what's that website again? And I do want to say, so what I'm hearing is the key to reentry is basically baking pastry. So we can reduce recidivism by baking pastries and cupcakes.
You know, I mean, one of the things we found, right, cooking is therapeutic for a lot of us. There's a lot of healing, and for a lot of folks, there's a lot of good memories around food, and food is hospitality. So, you know, for a lot of our participants, Eddie Quinn was one of them. Eddie was really the inspiration. He came out after 18 years, and he'd been a cook in the prison, and he couldn't get a job. He couldn't get a job in the food industry. He applied it at UW Housing, and this was many years ago. It's changed since then, but he was denied even an interview because of his conviction history. And so we just said, we're going to have to create our own doors. So, but that for Eddie, food was therapeutic. It's amazing how many of our students, they're not sure they want to do baking or food service, but they get in the kitchen portion of it, and it's like, it clicks. So, and even if it doesn't, they've completed a program, they've earned college credit through Madison College, and we can help them find a job, even if it's not in food service.
It's amazing.
Oh, and the website, that's what you actually asked me. JustDaneOneWord.org.
Thank you.
Good morning, Father Boyle.
Good morning to you.
I cannot wait to hear more about your work, your journey. I'm on the website and I'm looking and it says meet the founder, and I click on there and it's talking about the history that you've had in a specific neighborhood and area in LA and the impacts of being, I'm going to guess, a pillar of support within that community during that time, right? And watching the devastation around you and how you were moved to act. And I cannot wait to hear from you, sir.
Well, I'm honored to be with you, but I am even more honored to support Just Dane and their great work in Madison. I'm looking forward to going there, hoping that the snow will get out of its system before, because I'm bringing two homies who are unfamiliar with the word cold. So, Homeboy has been around for 36 years, and we have 13 social enterprises and 10,000 folks a year walk through our doors wanting to reimagine their lives. There are 120,000 gang members in LA County and 1,100 gangs. So everybody knows where Homeboy is and what we do. We don't exist for those who need help, but only for those who want it. So once they walk through the door, it's ticker tape parade and red carpet. So
1,100 gangs?
1,100 gangs, yeah.
Lord.
So, you know, part of the thing was, I think we shifted from, in our early days, it was nothing stops a bullet like a job. That was our T-shirt and our motto. But about 15 years in, we started to recognize that an educated gang member may or may not go back to prison, or even an employed one may or may not. But then we landed on this idea that a healed gang member will not reoffend, period. And so we've kind of stayed with that for the last 20 years, and it seems right to us. So we do all the things that everybody does, job training and therapy and anger management and classes and tattoo removal or whatever, and train people in our 13 social enterprises. But primary is, and the secret sauce really is, a culture that really cherishes them. And if it's true that a traumatized person is perhaps likely to cause trauma, then it has to be equally true that a cherished person will be able to find their way to the joy there is in cherishing themselves and others. So so you create a place that's safe, just like Just Dane does, and then a place where they can be seen, and then they can be cherished. And then they leave our program, as they do Just Dane, and the world is going to throw at them what it will, but this time they won't be toppled by it. They're resilient and sturdy, and that's what comes from being a cherished and valued and honored, and people inhabit their own dignity and nobility. And I think that's how it works.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. I really love the human side to this, right? What I heard you and Linda both talk about was seeing people and treating them as people. So often we refer to people as X this, and right, we title them instead of calling them by name. And we refer to them as data and statistics. And some of what you were just saying made me think of some of the conversations that we have right now about youth and how we talk about something being wrong with this generation and something's changed in the people. And I love that you both are bringing forth and represent organizations doing powerful work that first centers these individuals as that. Individuals, people with a whole life story and loves, wants, desires, goals, fears, vulnerabilities, and circumstances that got them where they were, right? This understanding that we're bigger than our circumstances, that we can even grow past some of the things that we've done. So to me, that's the key. It's that idea of healing. So Father Boyle, I liked your first couple slogans, but I agree. Healed people move through the world in a different way, and they can't help but to bring that with them, right? There's this trail of that with you, where when you're healed, you show up and you support other people in different ways, you react to people in different ways, and you create that for other people, not just by modeling, but really the energy that you're giving off. And so I am a fan, and I appreciate so much this conversation and the perspectives that you all bring, because that is a big part of what's missing. And also just the reframing of skills. That idea of putting people, Linda, you said we realized that they weren't going to walk into jobs and doors weren't going to open. So we opened those doors. We created that space. And that you're a woman after, you're older than me, so I'm going to say I'm a woman after your heart, but a woman after my own heart, because that's exactly it. When we see the system has gaps, some folks are going to just jump in and fill them. And that's what we need. That's how we move forward. So thank you so much for being a part of being those people. What can we expect on next Thursday? What do we expect at this event? Are we calling this a gala, or what is the definition of this event on Thursday?
We're calling it a 50th anniversary celebration. So there'll be it starts at 6. From 6 to 7, there's some live music and refreshments, and then at 7 o'clock, we'll move into the program. The Honorable Judge Everett Mitchell, who is also at one time our Associate Director at Justain, will be our MC. And we're going to hear from, we have a couple of awards. And then the evening is turned over to Father Boyle. So I'm looking forward to that. That's kind of it. We'll have some other events through the year, but nothing this big. This is our big event to celebrate. And again, we're so inspired by the work of Homeboy. So it just feels great to be able to celebrate with you all.
I like the idea when you said, Linda, that when they come in, it's not necessarily a specific amount of time. You said some people may need 18 months, some may need 24, some may need others, some may need to be able to come back. I think that's a really great model, because a lot of programs typically have this, hey, you got 18 months, you got 10 months to do this, and this is the money that the county, city, you know, are willing to do. But being able to have kind of an open door policy for people, and especially who have been either in gangs or incarcerated, is because they lived a certain lifestyle. So to be able to be welcomed and to come back into something that's positive definitely sounds like it creates some good memories or some good people in your corner. So that's amazing. So I want to commend you guys on that. And then the same thing I was thinking about, just called Father Greg. It's going to be interesting for me just calling you Father Greg. I don't call my own father, but it's okay. But one of the things I heard from you is that you guys had 13 key industries. Can you let us know what those industries are? Because it sounds like they have to be powerful and impactful.
Well, we also have a bakery, and we have a lot of restaurants, Homegrown Cafe, and we have the Homeboy Diner at City Hall, the only place you can get food. We have restaurants out at the airport. We have Homeboy Electronic Recycling, Homeboy Merchandise. We have a thing called Homeboy Threads, which is a kind of a repurposing of, like Guess jeans. We have all these companies that give us stuff, and we repurpose them so that they can be reused rather than sent to a landfill. And Homegirl Catering. We have Homeboy Silkscreen, which has been around for like 30 years. Where we print shirts, and
I'm wondering, listening to you list these different enterprises, are these things that you and your staff have created, or are some of these things in a response to some of your participants' interests? It feels like this might be something that's maybe people have come through the door interested and things have grown from.
Well, you know, they all started in different ways, kind of organic ways, you know. a couple wanted to start Rodriguez silk screening, and they were in my parish, and I said, no, why don't you start Homeboy silk screen? And so it's been around for 30 years. It may not have lasted if it was Rodriguez silk screen, but we were able to, you know, people want, they pay more to get shirts printed with us, but they know that by giving us business, they're, you know, creating an opportunity for folks who have returned to the community or gang members who have decided to leave that life behind. So it's kind of a feel-good factor. Like Just Bakery, it's the same principle, you know, where you want to support them because it's not only high-quality baked goods, but it's also helping folks, you know, get back on their feet.
Thank you. Absolutely. Those are, I love what you said about how with the support of Homeboy Industries, it's had that sustainability. And it, I love when we have opportunities to give back, and it's something we might want to call kind of like sneak in the medicine and the sugar, right? Like, here goes this opportunity to give back, and you're going to get this quality product. It makes it easier, I would imagine, to get some of that support. I want to go back to Just Dane, because we are talking a lot about the social enterprise piece of programming, but I don't want to overlook the Healing House, the House for Healing that Just Dane has opened, and the significant work happening there.
Yeah, thank you, Tara. So, you know, part of our history at Just Dane has been to really listen to the community, and when there's a need, kind of study that need, look at, is there an organization that might be able to fill that need? And if not, can that be us? And so in 2012, the Dane County Board asked us to form a task force to look at the Occupy Madison encampment that was at the old Don Miller car lot on East Washington Street, and to try to inform them why that had kind of transformed and evolved from a political encampment to an encampment of folks who are unhoused. And we said, we'll do that, but we're not just going to tell you where you can shuffle people around, right? We're gonna look at why people are there. We're going to look at what are the gaps in the system. So we formed the task force, and it included people who were living at the car lot site, advocates. We interviewed police. We interviewed advocates, homeless services providers, folks who are unhoused, and really trying to understand what these gaps were. And so we presented our recommendations and our findings to the county board in July of 2012. And one of the things that was glaring was the fact that our shelter system is only open overnight, and it is congregate, right? It's cots, it's mats on a floor. So when people were being discharged from the hospital, and we often don't think about this, but when you're unhoused, when your time is up at the hospital, they discharge you, whether you have a house or not, whether you have a place to recuperate or not. And so one of the big gaps that was clear to us was that there is no recuperative medical shelter or respite in Dane County, either for families or for single adults. So we formed a task force to look at that. None of the homeless services providers or shelter providers at that time were interested in providing that service. And for good reason in some ways, because there's not financial support for it. The government, Medicare, Medicaid don't recognize medical shelter as reimbursable services often, especially not just the recuperative part of it. But we were approached by a congregation in town who said, we have this building, we believe there's a need for this, so we would be happy to have you use this space, which has always been some form of mission space for our church, to create, to kind of pilot a family recuperative shelter for families that are unhoused and have someone with a recuperative need being discharged from the hospital. So that was back in 2013-14, we started that work. We opened the doors to Healing House on July 9th, 2019. To the best of our knowledge, it is still the only recuperative medical respite in the United States specifically for families. There are about 67 to 70 respites around the country, but all of them are for adults. So we are working right now. We're consulting with a couple of other shelters in the country that are interested in expanding into family shelter. And we know there's still a need for recuperative shelter for adults too. And we're pleased that that's, you know, being looked at by some of the other shelter providers in the county. So, but yeah, Healing House opened the doors. We have, it's a small space. It's an old house renovated. We have 5 bedrooms. It's staffed 24/7. Folks get support through peer support, case management, and our resident care specialists are there helping connect people with resources. We have a great partner in the Road Home that provides housing case management. So our goal is always that when somebody's time is up and it's time to move out of Healing House, that they're going at least into transitional housing, or we've worked with the family shelter system to get them a room in family shelter. But we've had probably about 40% of our families are moving into permanent housing when they leave. So we'd love to see that number. Our goal is 70%, but it's just the way the housing market is right now. But it's been a huge learning curve. We opened in July of 2019, you know, not too far into still learning how to operate a shelter. Pandemic hit, so we had to really kind of relook at kind of the model and the daily schedule and how we keep guests safe and staff safe. But you know, we've had parents with broken bones from car accidents. We've had children going through chemo. We've had a terminally ill teenager and her mom with us. We've had, you know, a young person who was paralyzed who was a victim of crime and paralyzed, and family lost housing because the housing didn't have an elevator. I mean, the things you don't think about why people can lose housing, and suddenly you're living in a van with, you know, 5 of your family members. So we say technically it's 8 to 10 beds. We've had as many as 13 folks with us, depending on the family composition. So we try to have provide recuperative shelter for as many folks as we can. And this last 6 months especially, we've pretty much been operating with a waiting list.
Oh, congratulations.
So thank you. I mean, it's been a struggle. I will admit, you know, we tried to work with, we have a great relationship with discharge planners and case managers at the hospitals, but in terms of the hospitals in general, throughout the entire planning process, they kept telling us that they didn't see homeless families. So we largely operate, Healing House largely operates entirely on donations and has had some small emergency shelter grant funding. So it's a huge lift within our community and for our staff in terms of fundraising, but it's such a needed service that we're committed to continuing to provide this. So, but it is truly a community effort, and we hope at some point that our hospitals will step up and provide some financial support, as happens with most of the other medical respites in the country.
Wow. Do you guys have a website or something where the community can donate, or how can the community help?
Sure. Through our JustSane website, you can donate and you can designate the gift toward a specific program. People can also, you know, we still take checks. So folks can pop a check in the mail as well. So, but yeah, through our website is probably the easiest way. It's also another way you can shop for just bakery goods as well, for pickup or delivery.
I don't know if this is premature to ask, so let me know, but you're talking about collaboration and filling gaps in housing. And I know that so last week we had Miss Jackie Hunt on, and she was having a celebration, and we talked a little bit about her sons. One of her sons, Julian Walters, is working within our city to create something similar for youth and young adults. And I know behind the back doors that Just Dane is a partner in that. And so if you're able to share a little bit, I would love it. And if not, we can wait, because we'll definitely have Julian on in a little while and start picking his brain. But I say that not just because I know a little bit about what you have going, but I also imagine that I don't have a clue about some of the other places that you are. Because what I do know is that as I was being welcomed and kind of getting into some of the leadership spaces here in town, you were at all the tables. Every place that I felt that was important for me to show up and have voice or understand what was happening, you were there. That's how we started getting connected. Linda is somebody who has been a mentor and supporter to what we've been doing over here at Edo. We need to have another breakfast, but she spent time with me, just listening to my woes and giving me some advice and just being a friend. And so I know you're in a lot of places. And so I just would love to hear about some of the stuff that's not on the website or that's not, that we don't know that's happening, because I know Just Dane is doing so much in our community.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. We're thrilled to collaborate with Julian on the Park Street Loft. So that's a housing development that he's working on. And he approached us in terms of providing, because we do have some youth programs. We have a mentoring program for youth who are impacted by parental incarceration. We collaborate with Operation Fresh Start on Drive to Succeed. So helping youth who are involved in the criminal legal system get their high school diploma, mentoring, get their driver's license. But Julian approached us because some of the set-aside housing is going to be for young people aging out of the foster care system. And so we'll be the supportive services provider offering some case management, some mentoring support, as well as, for example, ServSafe classes on site as an entree if they're interested in Just Bakery or if they just want to get that certification. So we'll be providing some of that supportive services when that development opens. So we're working closely with his team and really excited by the model that he's put together. It's kind of a different way of imagining housing and partnering with supportive services. Some other space we're in a collaboration right now, and I can't say too much, but we are working with the African Center for Community Development, as well as Mentoring Positives, which is a group also inspired by Homeboy Industries, and I know their team and Will Green have been out there a few years ago, and they produce a line. They're training young people in food service, and they've got off-the-block salsa and pizza, which is awesome. You should get some if you haven't purchased it. But in collaboration with them to reimagine some things and some space over in the Darbo Drive neighborhood. So can't say too much more about that right now, but we're building that collaboration and those partnerships. And so it's an exciting time for us. I mean, it's a time to celebrate, you know, our past and recognize our past, but really how that past is helping propel us and continue to move us forward in the future and still maintain that authenticity and that history of what's the need and how can we help fill the need. And sometimes that's us filling the need, and sometimes it's us walking side by side and supporting whatever other person or organization is going to fill that need or address that need. And sometimes it's just us following and saying, yes, yes, go.
I'll beat Antoine to it, but I'll say that that sounds like, so we got bakery, we got pizza, we got salsa. Sounds good to me.
Right. Sounds like a party. Well, and I love to bring in this community piece of it, right? Because one, knowing Will and Becky, being collaborative with Mentoring Positive speaks highly of Just Dane, because Will is one of those folks who rides right under the radar, which sounds a little funny to people who know about Mentoring Positives, but he's just going to put his nose down and get to the work. And so there's not a lot of people, a lot of organizations out here that can say that they're positively currently collaborating with Mentoring Positives. So I think that speaks a lot to it. And then also for me, it's this... So for those of our listeners who might not know who we're talking about when we say Julian Walters, y'all know exactly who I'm referring to when I say Juju. And so we got Juju's block party coming up in August, and he has resurrected a basketball tournament that was a key place for us as youth in Madison to come into the South Side, to feel community, to have a safe, welcoming space for everybody to come out in the midst of Madison's own version of that gang violence, right? So during the time in the 90s, when I was growing up and there was open air drug markets and we did have gang gun violence in a way that was much more organized and I won't say lethal than today, but just much more what we think about when we think about traditional gang violence. So when Madison was experiencing that here, Johnny Winston was part of having this basketball tournament that Juju Julian has brought back. And so there's a portion of our community who knows Julian through basketball, who knows Julian through the opportunity he's throwing this party in the park where we have vendors, we have information, and the community comes out. Lots of folks are familiar with Will for the work he's doing on the east side and his overlap with basketball. That's how my sons got involved with basketball, because he uses basketball as the hook, right? That's how he gets them in the door. And once they're in the door, he starts talking all the stuff they need. And so it speaks volumes to me when the people that I know get the work done behind the closed doors, the people who I know are connected to our community and bring the community together, are also the organizations that your organization partners and collaborates with. That speaks a lot of important things to me locally, just thinking about the, even like Antoine, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, being new to Madison and not realizing the amount of clickiness amongst the Black community, amongst the nonprofit community. Oh, yeah. Right. And so for people who know, you understand that some of what Linda just said is that they're amongst a small group of people who are trusting and working together to get the work done. And so understanding that political piece of it is even more impressive. And it doesn't surprise me, but I want the community to understand that there's several stamps of approval coming right out of our most impacted communities when she says these people sought her out and that she's working alongside them. Because these are Black male-led organizations. And that's a big deal to me.
Well, and I want to say, we love work, and I love the idea that in the relationship we're building with Mentoring Positives. And I want to say, so Will is really on this collaboration. Will and Mentoring Positives, they're leading us. I mean, they're guiding the vision, and so we approached with kind of some strategic planning we've been doing, and we're looking at kind of some space in the Darbo neighborhood. We knew that there was no way we could put anything in the Darbo neighborhood without the blessing of, nor should we, the blessing of Mentoring Positives, Will and Becky, and all the work over 20 years that they have done in that neighborhood. So we're just so honored by their willingness to allow us to be part of their larger vision for the neighborhood in a way that also allows us to fulfill some of the strategic planning we've done, as well as the, you know, getting to know African Center for Community Development as well. So I absolutely a shout out to Mentoring Positives and the work that they have done for 20 years in Darbo neighborhood. It's an honor to be able to work with them. So I just want to give that shout out. And if you haven't had dinner or meal over at Muriel's Place, where the old Ellis Deli used to be, That's their cafe. That's their place you can get dinner for sure. Stop by.
I love it. Thank you so much. We're actually ending. It always amazes me how fast this hour goes, but I want to give you an opportunity to share any last minute thoughts. And of course, to remind the folks to get those tickets, come out and support, or go to the website and make a donation to keep this work going.
For me, just last thoughts, thank you, and huge thank you to Father Boyle and Homeboy, and I'm going to leave a minute for Father Boyle.
You're muted.
Oh, I think your microphone's still off.
I'm looking forward to supporting Just Dane this upcoming week and their efforts, and together we can maybe start a kind of something of a revolution. What if we were to invest in people rather than just mindlessly incarcerating our way out of all our problems? So I look forward to honoring Just Dane and their half a century of work. Thank you all.
Thank you. And no, Father Boyle didn't come through with the last minute mic drop. We needed a bump, bump, bump again for that, right? What if we actually invest? Okay, John, come through. Okay, like what if we actually invested in people? So I'm going to remind our listeners again, thank you so much for tuning in. Those of you who are going to come back later to the archives, thank you for showing up. And let's continue the conversation. So I know you heard some great stuff today. What are you going to do with the information? Take it out into the world. And how are you going to spread this information and support this work? Thanks so much. And it's been a great pleasure. Tuesday, 8 o'clock buzz, signing off the Tuesday Turk crew. Thanks for coming out, Linda.
This land is This land is your land, or so it's claimed. But when they came here, it already had a name. And the people that they brought here also had the same. Assume the land is yours, but also take the blame for native blood spilled, tribe that fell ill and became the foundation for this country that was built by the slaves that were killed in the fight for their freedom. Don't pretend that your ancestors didn't need them. So this land made now belongs to all of us. Whatever your race, whatever God you trust, rural towns to a sprawling metropolis, every single person that's part of the populace. Sing from the valleys, yell from the towers, soldiers with rifles, hippies holding flowers. Rebuild the system, reclaim the power. If this land is yours, it's certainly ours.
Bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people as they stood hungry. I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. There was a big old wall there, it tried to stop me. On a sign it said private property. But on the backside, it didn't say nothing. 'Cause this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, yeah. This land was made for you and me.
Yeah, this land dumping off of the kickstand, rolling through the country, walking tall with the big man. Gotta recognize it's a big land. Road tripping, building with my fam, it's a big plan. Full of towns, everybody hanging on. Still pushing past it all, still standing strong. Shout it out clear, hear the sound of the call. Ground, winter, spring, summer for the harvest in the fall. If we all really got a say in this land, then we all really gotta set a stake in this land. For them greedy corporations finish taking the land. Drain the water from the lake and lay waste to the land. Think about a place for your fam, where your grandkids find a better place in this land. Don't you find out you ended up wasting the chance to make a path to eradicating hate in this land.
I roamed and rambled, follow my footsteps to the sparkling sands of a diamond desert. All around me, the voice was shouting, saying this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. California to the New York Islands, from the Redwood Forest.
You've been listening to the Tuesday 8 o'clock Buzz on WRT 89.9 FM, Madison, Wisconsin. Next up, 3 hours of folk music, Green Morning Radio, after the kiosk.
Free market ideologues fabricate some of the most preposterous yarns, trying to justify their assertion of corporate greed over public need. Consider their far-fetched laissez-faire land tale that by allowing corporate giants to dodge the billions of tax dollars they owe to our country, the top executives of those corporations will plow that money into new jobs, products, and services for the common good. The ideologues assure us that this is the, quote, magic of the marketplace. But remember, magicians don't perform magic, they perform illusions. In this case, since the law does not require that such tax windfalls be invested for the public good, they aren't. Instead, the corporate barons simply pocket the money. A diligent watchdog group, Institute for Policy Studies, recently documented this by analyzing financial data of 35 enormously profitable giants, including Tesla, T-Mobile, and Duke Energy. Over a four-year period, these 35 lavished pay of $9.5 billion on their honchos. Even for giants, that's an extravagant payout. Where'd the money come from? Tax dodging. Combined, these outfits paid zero in federal taxes and even extracted nearly $2 billion in refunds. To rationalize this handout, free market ideologues claim that corporations are just like ordinary taxpayers, merely taking a few legal deductions to lower their tax bill. But wait, tax laws aren't handed down on stone tablets, applying equally to everyone.